I've had an interesting day. It's been a big one. I've been doing some multitasking of what I project and then, just a lot of, I've just been doing a multitasking of things, but I'm serious when I say I've been in some form of Bible study for the past 3 hours. If it hadn't been the past 3 hours, it's been pretty tough. And the reason why I say that, I'm just using that as a cliche, to discuss what we're about to talk about. I will admit that this conversation or this kind of Bible study, the scriptures today has led me by the Spirit of God to deal with this on today. And I'll pray first, and then we'll jump right into this, and then we'll see what God has to say. Father God, we bless your name, and I just glorify you for all the things that you have done in our lives and what you're continuing to do. And I just, appreciate you. We appreciate you very much, and we thank you for all that you do in our lives. We just praise you. We know that you are the one true God. We are fully convinced, fully persuaded, and we declare to you that we are willing to stand before you in truth, trusting in you when no one else is willing to stand. We bless you for that, and thank you for our Savior, Yahushua, who is the Son of God, and obedient to you, even to death and resurrection. We bless you for that. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, this lesson will be coming from First Kings chapter 18, and I just want to see, I'm just filling out where to start, because like I said, God, I didn't know when I came in, I didn't know where I was going, what I was doing. I'm just, I walk in and just deal with things how y'all need me to deal with it. Sometimes you will see me, I may use some notes or something like that, but I only use some form of notes when y'all had me doing like a series, and there's information he's given me ahead of time, and I'm just, I've accumulated all that information just to follow the pattern that he's given me. It's not that I need the notes to know where to go. It's just that I need the notes to follow the order by which he gave me, and it makes it easier for me to follow that order. Okay. Well, what I want to discuss with you on today is that we are in the time frame where people are and will be challenging your faith, challenging your faith in Yah, challenging the scriptures by which we stand upon, that was written by our fathers, Moses, the prophets, the apostles, and they will decree that the book is not true. And they will use information that seems to be credible, at least from their perspective. But when I hear it, it's hilarious because I understand the book. And when you understand it at the level by which Yah has given, then there's nothing that can dissuade me in any other thought. You can't put this together, this good. A man can't write this and tie it together from Genesis to Revelation. He can't tie it together. There are too many things that's in here that lets you know this is not from a normal mindset. That this mindset or these mindsets have been inspired. They have written the things that they have, and everything coincides from Genesis to Revelation. Well, if an individual has not been inspired by Yah to unseal these things and to see it, then the things that we discuss will be foolish to someone who is not qualified to discuss the book. And when I mean by the book, I'm talking about the scriptures, so-called Bible. Now, the interesting part about other people's belief system or the things that they believe is all of them refer to the Bible to discredit it or to confirm what they believe. That's the part that's amazing to me. You know, when people be like, you know, you need to read the Quran or you need to read the, I'm just making up names. You need to read the Quran. Well, the Quran is not a made-up name. It's a book. You need to read the Quran or you need to read this information here, because if you do, then you're going to expand your mind. You'll realize the Bible is not true. I'm like, okay, well, why do you go to my book? I'm calling it my book. It's our book, okay? So, but I'm making it personal when I talk to these type of individuals. Why do you have to go to my book to prove your book? I don't need to go to your book to prove my book. I just go to my book and stick with it. Or why do you need to use my book to discredit my book in order to make what you believe to be the truth? Why do you have a problem with my book? I don't even care to discuss yours. But I run into a lot of people who seem to want to bring up my book in order to discredit it, in order to validate what they believe. And that's hilarious to me, because I'm like, why are you always comparing that book or my book as the standard? If you don't believe it, why even bother talking about it? Just say what you believe, because that's what I do. I don't bring up the Quran in order to convince people about the book that my book. I think of that. I don't bring up the Quran to convince people of my book. I just talk about my book. I don't have to discredit nothing in the Quran to bring validation to what's in my book. I just stick with my book. I don't have to go to some history about Kemet or Egypt. I don't have to go through all those histories to discredit my book or to credit what I believe. I just stick with my book. Why is everybody trying to discredit our book? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that everyone is trying to prove that it's not the truth, but they have to take it and use it and study it to try to figure out little things that they can pull out of it to discredit what's in the book? You know, so I challenge all of them. You name them. Whether they study the Quran, whether they study the any other kind of book, the Book of the Dead, whether they study all of them. I don't have to go to your book to discredit what you believe. I just teach what I believe. And what I believe and teach from my book is enough information all by itself to set up a standard. I don't have to compare. And so it amazes me how many people take our book into their religion, into what they believe, and try to dissect it to come back and say, well, it's not the truth. Well, I don't spend my time in stuff I don't believe in. I've had some people who say, man, well, you know, in order for you to expand your mind, you have to read all these other books. I'd be like, man, my mind is just expanding with what I'm using. Why should I bother trying to get something else to expand my mind when all the information is there that I need? And if a person want to call that ignorant or crazy or however way they want to put it, that's fine with me, because I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just telling what I believe. So what I write and what I teach is from the conviction of me. Y'all gotta hear what I just said. What I write and what I teach is from my conviction. So let me get a real problem. I'm not writing for you. I'm not teaching for you. Now y'all know I'm your pastor, but I have to say that to those who are not among us. Y'all hearing me now? I have to say that to those who don't believe what we believe. I'm not teaching this or writing this for you. You don't want to put your face on my page. You don't want to get me my book. I could care less what you believe. I'm just standing on what I believe. Why do you have a problem about me standing on what I believe? I don't have a problem about you standing on what you believe. I'm not trying to change how you think. If you believe what you believe, I'm not going to debate with you whatsoever. Because I understand the principle. Everybody that Yah is sending into the kingdom through the Son, who is the Son of Yah, Yahushua Mashiach, they know him as Jesus Christ. So all those who have been called to be a witness for him will believe. I ain't concerned about the rich. I ain't concerned about the evil. Now, I have to say that in order for you to understand the seriousness of this issue. I know everybody's not going to believe. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with somebody worshiping Buddha. I don't have a problem with somebody worshiping, Muhammad. However you put it. I don't have a problem with you worshiping. But why is that people always have a problem with who we worship? And so I've been seeing these different debates and things like that. And like I said, when these things happen, one of the things that these people will do is they have the tendency to attack you when they can't discredit what you say. In other words, when I write or when I teach, there are people out there who, when they cannot come up with nothing to discredit what I teach, then all they do is, you know, it's easy to talk about it crazy. It's easy to say it's not true. It's easy to discredit what's written in the scripture, but it's hard to put down valid information to discredit. Because if you keep going against it with valid information, you're going to realize sooner or later that the information that you're putting up to validate what you believe is going to start from it. It's like what I told the brother earlier today. I said, I see the truth in the scriptures all around me. I'm not just going about what I read. I'm going about what I see in nature. I'm going about what I see in life. I'm going about what I see in my daily activities that confirms what the scripture says. Now, a person may say, I don't believe that. Well, my answer to that question is that's your belief. I don't have a problem with that. If you notice what Yah said to our nation when we got ready to go into our promised land, the land of Canaan, which is Africa, when we got ready to go in that land, he said, in a nutshell, learn not the ways of the heathen. Don't even mingle with it. Now, when you hear that, you have to understand the seriousness of it. He was saying, don't try to convince them. Don't try to save them. Don't try to mingle with them. Don't put yourself in the position where you're trying to convert them into what you believe, because when you spend time trying to convert a heathen, an unbeliever, to believe what you believe, then they're going to end up converting you. You're going to learn their way. Well, Yah said, I'm going to drive them out of the land. I don't want you to mingle with them. I don't want you to do Bible study with them. I don't want you to sit down and convince them of what the scriptures say, because you have to come to the understanding that there are some people who have the mindset to never understand what we understand, no matter how well you give it to them. So when I write for me. Because if I withhold what I understand, it is like fire shut up in my bones. It is a burden to me to withhold the knowledge that I have in the scriptures. So when I write it, I ain't trying to necessarily convince somebody of what I'm saying. I'm just getting it out of me so that I don't have to be burdened with holding the truth. So that's what I mean when I say that. Now y'all know, as part of this ministry, you know that it is my goal to feed you. It is my goal to reveal to you everything that I have. You know, I want to teach you I want to teach you the scriptures to teach you how to understand. I want to give you everything that I understand concerning the scripture. But there are others who it's like water, it doesn't back to me. Worship whatever you want to worship. Sodom and Gomorrah had some worshipers of other gods. Yah didn't tell Abraham that he was going to bring all of them out. He brought out Lot and his two daughters. His wife, you know, turned around and she didn't make it because she looked back, but Yah didn't go in there to save everybody. So wisdom tells me I can't save everybody. So people at present want to live like the devil lives, like the devil. I don't care. Now, I say that from a perspective of understanding what that care truly means. It's not that I don't have sympathy for people and things like that. What I'm saying is, when you make up your mind to believe what you believe, then at that point, I make up my mind that I no longer care to stop you from believing what you believe. That comes a time when I will convince someone of what I believe. I'll just let them believe what they believe. Even the Apostle Paul made those statements. He said concerning some members of our nation, he said, you know what, I'll just take the message to the Gentiles. He said, I won't preach to you anymore. And so my responsibility is not to make people believe. My responsibility is to get the information out there, to give them that opportunity. Now, whether they choose to believe it or not, that's not my interest. That's not even my care. I don't care who believes and don't believe, because that's not my responsibility. And that's the problem with most people. Most people is they try to force a person to believe what they believe. And if a person doesn't believe what they believe, then they get upset and it's friction and all that kind of stuff. I tell people all the time, look, man, hey, man, we can hang. We cool. We good. We can go sit down and eat. You believe in Allah. I believe in Yah. If they not the same God, I ain't concerned about that. I just know what my book says about God, and your book says what it says about Allah. And what you believe is what you believe, what I believe, what I believe, and ain't nothing affecting this fool right here. Now, on the other hand, if you bring up what you believe and want to challenge the book that I believe in, then we got a conversation going. And so, he said, I'll let you say this. When people challenge you, stand up to the challenge. I've made up my mind that anyone who challenges the book, my book, I'm making it personal. If anyone challenges the book, they better know what they're talking about. Because you're not going to go to my book and debunk it. Because I know my book more than you. Did you understand? I said you as a general term. Because the people who are trying to debunk the book that's yours don't know nothing about the book. Why? Because y'all don't reveal it to them. So I chuckle at them, you know, laugh. I get a good laugh at people who try to sit down and dissect my book. I'm like, this is hilarious. I told one guy today, I said, you know what? You discrediting the scriptures, the Bible, is just like a commentator discussing football but never played. He has no experience enough. He's just saying he's reading the script. He don't know how to play. He hasn't played the game. He doesn't know how to run a football. He doesn't know how to catch a football. He doesn't know how to take a hit and hold on to the football. All of these things are his opinions based upon what he considers good or not good. That's the issue that Terrell Owens had with a lot of them in reference to the Hall of Fame. He said, how you never playing football trying to tell me whether I'm qualified to go in the Hall of Fame or not? You just a reporter. All you do is sit down and write about how good or not good you think I am. You never play the game to make a determination of whether I'm good or not. You just watch me on the field. But when you get across me, you're going to determine how good or not good I am based upon being in peer. So you're saying in a nutshell, football players should determine who's going to Hall of Fame because they know football. Not some commentator sitting over there got his degree in broadcasting. Now he wants to sit down there and be an expert on what a professional football player is. That's what I think about all these people who sit down and try to tell me what is right and wrong about the book that I've studied for years. How can you tell me about something you're not qualified to tell me about, and you hadn't even studied the pages from Genesis to Revelation, and even if you have, you still don't get it because the Spirit of Yah ain't revealing nothing to you. Because how can you hear if you don't believe? So I challenge you to get qualified enough and to hear the things that we're talking about, so when these type of people come to you to discredit your book, you're going to leave them one or two ways. And I'm going to show you the signs by using one or two methods to show you that you got a point. When these people challenge you, when you leave them speechless, you got a corner. Or when they start to attack you now, they got them corner. Because the majority of these type of people, they have a tendency to attack you as being crazy or ignorant, all because they can't come up with any other validation to discredit what you say. So every time they call me crazy, I have to yell like a fox. Crazy just like a fox. Now you put up the information that you believe to discredit what I just put up, because I gave you, I not only said it, but I gave you all the reasons why I'm saying it. Now all you gonna do is just tell me I'm not telling the truth, or all you gonna do is go to a fruit nugget piece of scripture to try to validate what you believe? Nah, that ain't enough. I'm gonna challenge your belief system. My goal is to have it to where anytime somebody want to get my book to try to discredit it, I'm going to make them real uncomfortable, because I know the book more than anybody that's going to try to use it to discredit the book. Yeah, I'm not dealing with those people. So there's no way in the world that they should be able to discredit a book that you live by. Well, I laugh at them. I've had people who have taken, Deuteronomy chapter 18, Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, somewhere up in there, and have said that the prophet that Moses was talking about was Muhammad. Well, you better get out of my book, because you don't know what the book says. You get over the New Testament, it tells you that it's talking about Christ. Says it verbatim. Don't go to my book and pull out a nugget and then think you're going to educate me. You're not qualified. Okay, so these things are vital important. So it's necessary for each one of us, and I don't expect you to be able to teach it like I do. There's a gift that I've been given by Yah to write and divide the word of truth. Okay, there's a gift that I've been given. Some of us are chosen to do these things, but at the same time, you live by this, you should be able to explain certain things enough to discredit somebody who don't live by it and want to try to debunk what you believe. I wish they would. Every time they pick up the book to try to educate me on it, I laugh. Man, I'd be like, you serious? You're really serious? This is like kindergarten playing against, varsity right now. Two things, then I want to remind you, then I'm going to show you in scripture that Elijah did the same thing. Two things, when they cannot discredit you, what they're going to do is become silent, or they're going to attack your character in one fashion or another. They're going to call you crazy, ignorant, They're going to say you don't know what you're talking about. They're going to say all these other things to attack your character, your mindset. Oh, yeah, man, I don't have to attack your mindset. I'm just going to say what the book says. And if you don't believe it, you know, I tell people all the time, if you don't believe it, you ain't got to read. I didn't grab your head and put it on Facebook. I didn't grab your eyes and make you stick on my page. I didn't do none of that. So if you don't believe it, just keep it moving. Believe me. I'm not writing this for you. I'm writing this for me. I'm getting it out because I was born to reveal the scriptures. So I have to reveal the information that Yah has given me. And so he's given me wisdom on how to get that information out of me. Some of it is through social media, you know, these services that we're in, talking to people and different things, however the way he leads me to get this information out, through text messages, all types of things. However the way he leads me to get this information out. If a person don't want the information, then leave it alone, because when I don't want your information, I leave your information alone. If I think you're talking crazy, I just let you be crazy, because your crazy is not going to affect what I believe. You know what I'm saying? And this is the big issue that's wrong with Christianity. You have Christians always trying to convert somebody. Oh, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. He's going to send laborers in the harvest. And they're going to get everything that Yah has given. But in that harvest field, there are some tares. Tares look like wheat. We are harvesters of wheat as a symbol of the people of the kingdom. But at the same time, the scripture points out that there's tare mixed in with the wheat. What does the scripture say? Let it all grow together. And when it all grows together, let Yah, who sent his son, do the separation. I'm not trying to convince, I'm not trying to distinguish between what's tare and wheat. I'm just telling the truth. And that tare is going to manifest before it's said and done. So just like Yah laid out a few, he said, wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many be there that go in thereat. But narrow is the way. Straight is the path that leads to life, and true be that find it. That tells me what we understand and what we live by, it is not in the majority. So you got to let that tear grow with us. And when that day comes, John's going to send his son, and he's going to reap the harvest of the wheat and going to burn tear, so to speak. It's a symbolic meaning that he's going to do the separation. So everybody believe what they believe. Here's an instance in 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm going to be pretty much on time, too. Yeah, got here a little bit late, but you know. Now, I'm going to just, for the sake of time, you can read 1 Kings 18:1. You can start verse 1 on your own time so that you can know what's going on as far as the whole story is concerned. I'll just read verse 1, maybe do 3, and then I'm going to skip if y'all allow me to do that. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 says, it came to pass after many days that the word of Yah came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show thyself unto Ahab. Ahab was a king. He was the king of Samaria, which was in our homeland, but at the same time, let me just read this just to make sure. Show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went and showed himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah. I'm just trying to make sure if he's over Samaria or Judah. Let me just do some things here just to make sure. all signs point to he was the over Samaria, okay? King of Samaria, not Judah. Okay, and if we need to correct that, we will. And so it says, now, and Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared God greatly, for it was so that Jezebel cut off the prophets of Yah, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land, unto all fountains of unto all fountains of water, and to all brooks. Peradventure, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, and we lose not all the beasts. Well, when you go into chapter 17, you see some things concerning Elijah, where he pointed out that there would be no rain. Okay? So, as the prophet spoke, none of his words fell to the ground. Yah is doing that again these last days. So that's why he's getting us ready for when we're challenged, the things that we say to confirm the scriptures, Yah's not going to let those words fall to the ground. Okay? So, as we continue on here, he said, we lose not all the beasts, so they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him and knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? Okay? Obadiah hugged him and said, are you the Elijah? And he answered, I am. Go tell thy Lord. Behold, Elijah is here. And he said, what have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? And as Yah thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord has not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it came to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, the spirit of Yah shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, he cannot find thee, and he shall slay me. But I thy servant fear Yah from my youth. Now, when he said in a nutshell, Yah was hiding Elijah. So much so that Obadiah was saying, if I go tell Ahab you're here, and Ahab has sent people all over looking for you, nobody can find you. If I go tell him that you're here, and when he show up to this place and you're not here because Yah has taken you up and hidden you, he said, then he's going to slay me because he's going to think I'm lying. As we say in a nutshell, trust me, in these last days, we don't have to run from any system. Yah is going to hide us. Y'all hear what I just said? So all of these who are challenging the scripture, when that day comes, they will not have a rock to hide up under. But watch Yah hide his people. Watch Yah hide his people now. We have nothing to worry about from this system of the last days that's going to cause famines and all these pestilences and diseases. We have nothing to worry about. Yah's going to hide us. And we're going to be well provided for. If manna can feed our nation for 40 years, manna can sure enough feed us again. I'm not worried about food or water because manna can fall from heaven and water can come out of a rock again. I ain't going to be storing up no water, searching for no water, and searching for no food. My God is my source. Our God is our source. Okay? Now, as we look at this, it says, verse 13, was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of Yah? How I hid 100 men of Yah's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And now thou said, go tell my Lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as Yah of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab, did I say Ahab? Let me go back up to verse 16. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of Yah, and thou hast followed Balaam. Okay, thou hast followed Baal, the god of the Babylonians. Okay, all that Nimrod stuff. They were still following it. Now nation went to following God. Oh God. Now therefore send and gather me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves. When you look at these groves, you know these totem poles, these things like that. Those are called groves. Okay, you see Indian totem poles and things. So we look at these poles. That's Asherah. So when you see these poles, y'all know what I'm talking about? How they have drawings on them? That's idolatry. That's Asherah. That's the scripture reveals what these are. They call them groves. So you see these different poles. They call them totem poles, I believe. When you see them, they have the drawing of faces and all that. That's our God. I want you to know that. So that's what he's saying. So when he mentioned the prophets of Baal, you look at Balaam. It's a deity. Okay. You even do research on it. It goes back to your ancient Babylonian customs. Okay. So as you see it here, we'll move back to verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400. So what, you got 850 men which eat up Jezebel's table. So you got 850 false prophets who believe in other gods, deities. That's what I'm saying. When they challenge us, set up to the challenge. Okay? Then verse 20 says, So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long are ye between two opinions? If Yah be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. In other words, follow what you want. But whichever one manifests to be God, then that's what we follow. That's what he's saying. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of Yah. But Baal's prophet are 450 men, whatever. There were more that hadn't bowed down, as you find out later on if you go into chapter 19, I believe. Yah told him there's a whole lot hadn't bowed down. Okay? Now, verse 23, he said, Let them therefore give us two books, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under it. And I will dress the other bullock. I'm going to do the same thing. And lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yah. And the God that answers by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. Let's do this. Okay? And Elijah said unto the prophet of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourself and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire on it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called the name of Baal from morning even unto noon. Call on it from morning, evening unto noon, they were calling on it. Saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. I've been mocking them, okay? You say your God, or what you believe is the truth, let's put it to the test. So when you look at the word mock, verse 27, verse 27, mock means to deride, deceitfully deceive, mock. And so here's how he's mocking him. So he's showing you how he's using the deception, because he's coming across like he's agreeing, but then he's not. That's the mock. That's why it's mocking. So it's a deceptive mocking that gives the impression like he's saying, okay, I'm going to just read it. Now, and it came to pass that Elijah mocked them and said, cry loud. Come on, y'all, get louder. That's mocking, because he's deceiving them or coming across as being deceitful because he's making fun of what they believe. He said, cry loud, for he is a God. Come on, y'all, this is your God. Maybe you need to cry loud. Either he is talking or he is pursuing or he is on a journey. Peradventure, he's sleeping and must be awake. It must be awake. He's saying, okay, if your God is real, then let's see something from it. If all these other gods are real, then let's see something from it. I can bag up mine. My Yah will show up and manifest before all men. We got to get to this point. I'm tired of people challenging my God and then standing there in pride because they think he won't show up. I tell you the truth, it's response time. And if you respond in faith, watch y'all show up. And it came to pass at noon, verse 27, that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey. A prayer adventure, he's sleeping and must be awake. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Them joker hollered and screamed until they didn't have nothing left. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of Yah that was broken down. And he took 12 stones. He built back Yah's altar up. Okay? Because they had tore it down and made other gods or other altars to worship their gods. And he took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, the tribes of Israel, unto whom the word of Yah came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stone he built an altar in the name of Yah, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain two measures of seed. Now, when you look at 2 measures of seed, measure, it says grain of seed, of sowing, okay? So as you look at it here, it says that he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. So remember, they built the altar and were just calling on that by Baal. Elijah said, I'm going to go even further than that. Throw water on everything. I'm going to do what you do, but I'm going to go even further. Throw water on it. Okay? He said, put water on it. And he said, do it a second time. Take 4 barrels with water, throw it on the sacrifice. Do it again, second time. And they did it a second time. He said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. He watered the altar 3 times and then filled the trench around it with water. Okay? Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Yah, God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, Let it be known this day that thou art Yah in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at thy word. See, don't do it if Yah ain't telling you what to do. When he tell you to do it, stand on it and watch your words not hit the ground. Verse 37, hear me, O Yah, hear me, that this people may know that thou art Yah God, El, and thou and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Do it to let the people turn to you. It's challenging time. I'm challenging all the gods in order for the people to make a clear choice. All right? And Elijah said unto them, verse 37, then the fire of Yah fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stone and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Yah, Elijah was just saying, let fire come down from your God and just burn the bullock. Yah said, I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to burn the bullock. I'm going to burn the stone. I'm going to lick up the dust. I'm going to lick up the water. I'm gonna burn the rock. I'm gonna burn up everything. Y'all don't have to do nothing. Okay? Now, and when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, Yah, he is God. Yah, he is God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, that not one of them escaped. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. As you see this here, and I'm going to start right here. I, by the leading of the Spirit of Yah, have grown tired of people challenging Yah's word. So like our father, the prophet Elijah, it's time to call it out. Challenge my God if you want to. I'm going to call your God out. From now on, when these people start making an attempt to discredit the script, to discredit the scriptures, okay, let's bring this out now and let's see a physical manifestation to see who God is God. If your God be God, we're going to worship him. If my book is wrong and your book is the truth, whichever God show up for the book, then that's who we're going to worship. Now, here's the thing. If they don't commit, then you worship your God and I ain't going to show you no sign. But if you think your God is God, then commit to the challenge and we'll see who God show up. Whichever God show up, that's who we're going to worship. I know mine's going to show up. He's been showing up all my life. I know he ain't going to fail me now. So, I'm finished. Remember this, there are going to be two things or two methods that people are going to use to discredit your book. Okay? Or there are two things, I'll change that. There are two things that's going to happen when a person attempts to discredit your book. They're going to end up being silent or they're going to attack you. I call it the straw man's fallacy. It's when they attack your character in order to get you off of the subject matter to keep them from having to reveal information that they know they don't have. You know, it's kind of like you saying it's a nice day today, and people use the straw man fallacy on you by saying, so what you saying? This is the only day that's nice? No, I'm just talking about this being a nice day. Oh, well, are you saying that when it rains, it's not a nice day? Because when it rains, it waters the grass. So rainy days got to be nice days, too. Then you find yourself defending yourself by rain and nice days when it rains. When people do me like that, I'll be like, man, please, don't get me off subject matter. I ain't talking about no rain today. I'm talking about this particular day. You want to have a conversation about this particular day? Well, it's nice or not, then fine, we can debate it. But if you want to throw rain and snow and all these things in here to try to discredit my initial conversation, I don't have time. Believe what you believe. Two messages. They're either going to be silent, or they're going to start calling you crazy. All these little catchphrases. You know, I always say when a person classifies somebody as being crazy, I always call them, they don't agree with that individual, that's just being dismissive. So if you don't believe what I believe, then you now are crazy. That's being dismissive. In other words, that's that individual admitting that they're not qualified to be in that conversation. And so in order to dismiss that conversation, they just call you crazy. Now you're trying to defend whether you're crazy or not. Strongman fallacy again. So when they call me crazy, I agree. Yeah, I'm crazy. Yeah, I'm the biggest fool you ever want to run into. But crazy like a fox and a fool for y'all. I'll tell you, just like he give it to me. I'm that kind of crazy. Now it's silent now. They don't know which way to go with that. Because he said, oh, I just called him crazy. He agreed. Now where do I go? Silence. Two methods. They're going to either call you crazy, or they're going to shut up and leave you alone. Either way, it's fine with me. Because I'm not trying to convince. I'm not trying to convince tear. I'm going in the harvest field out the wheat. I'm leaving the tear. And then they grow together with the wind. I don't care about no care. I care less who don't believe in my book. I am not concerned. I am not the Christian who's trying to save everybody. I know somebody not going to make it. I say this and then I'm getting ready to close. I told the brother in the conversation that I had with him, you know, in reference to the things that we're discussing now. You know, I said, you know what? Here's the neat thing about what I believe. If what I believe is a lie, then nothing happens. There's no consequences I have to pay. Because when I die, just like you died, there's going to be nothing. Because what I believe wasn't the truth, so there's nothing. But if I believe what I believe is the truth, and you don't accept it, there is consequences. Because my book says there are consequences for those who don't believe in it. So let's let time tell. You live with what you believe, and I'm going to live with what I believe, and we all going to find out what's the truth sooner or later. But now I'm taking another notch. You challenge my God, I'm going to challenge yours. Let's see which one show up now. Let's see whose God is the most awesome, or whose God is only God. Worship him. Okay? That's the issue. It hasn't been people who love God enough to do what he says so that he can bag up his word in their lives. That's what's been the problem. But Yah is raising up people who are going back to his laws, statutes, and judgments and doing exactly what he said. And he is bagging up what's being said. He is bagging up his word with signs and wonders. Okay. All right, Em. Any questions coming? I'm good. Okay. I pray, Father Yah, we just bless you. We just thank you for bringing us to this bold knowledge that is necessary to separate the wheat from the tares. If they God be God, then worship him. If you be the Almighty God that we know that you are, then we present you to to the faces of these people who are trying to debunk who you are. And he put you in their faces to accept the challenge. It's time for our God to reveal himself to mankind. And we bless you for giving us the wisdom to know that you're ready to do it. This is why we're having this discussion. Anyone in the name of the Savior, Yahushua, we do pray. Not that we worship him, but that we operate within the authority that he's given us to be in the right relationship with you. That's why we pray in his name. It is the authority that goes with the name. We don't worship the name, but we walk in the authority given by that name. To worship our Most High Yah again, in spirit and in truth. We bless you for that, y'all. In his name we pray. Amen.